transition. You know, you're in a time of transition, and some of you specifically are gearing up for a time of transition, even this year, with job or whatever it might be, house. If you notice the sign outside, and thank you, Dave, for putting that up, it says, "Let the new year begin with Jesus." Christ is always our starting point. He's the Alpha and the Omega. He's also the end point. But we're focusing on Christ being the focal center point. We want to start out well in this new year. And we need to keep Christ and our focus on Him as we navigate the changing season, as we navigate the transitions, whether in our lives personally, in our family, in our church. So only by keeping Christ, though, as the focal point of our lens, can the new year really be happy and blessed, right? You say happy, happy this, happy that. We're not always talking about, actually usually not talking about, what I'm not talking about is an external happiness, a happiness that comes from external things. Despite what the world tells us and tries to throw at us and entice us and pull us in, already had a conversation with, you know, Pat this morning about just the busyness of the holiday time and how kind of, you know, gets in our head and our focus isn't where it needs to be. Like, we understand that. We know the tension that we feel. So the world tries to make us feel like it's the external things that really will bring us the happy new year and the happy Christmas and the blessed new year. But that's not what I'm talking about. I'm not talking about the house that you live in or the car or the motorcycle that you drive, the money you have in the bank, or how many cool gadgets or toys you have. The happiness and the blessing of a new year that I'm talking about is actually contentment. Contentment that's found in the Lord. Surprisingly, it's a contentment that's independent of material things. And it's a living hope and an enduring peace that looks beyond the horizon of what our eyes see, beyond the veil of the world and what the world has to offer, to see instead by faith what lies ahead. What lies ahead. It's also a joy that looks forward to the fulfillment of God's promise that as His children we are heirs with Christ. And we anticipate enjoying eternity with the Lord Himself. This is what we have to look forward to, right? And Revelation lifts us there. Revelation lifts us there. You get a glimpse of the eternal picture, you know, before the throne. And man, all we could do is lay down our crowns. All we could do is lay down whatever works of righteousness, whatever attempt we've made to be faithful to the Lord. And yeah, He delights in those things. But as we said before, and it'll probably just come up often, the Lord Himself is the reward, you know, just being with Him forever. So we have that to look forward to. So as we live to know Him more now, and as we live to make Him known now while we're here, this is where I sense God is challenging us to keep our focus in these themes of contentment, having a living hope and enduring peace, eyes that look beyond, and having a joy to look forward to what God has in store. So in the crossover to a new year, some of my norms for me is to pray, find some time to pray into the new year or right around the new year, just to take some personal reflection kind of with the Lord, myself and Him, and make it very personal, nothing formal, just God, I want to hear from You. Like, what are You saying? What are You speaking to me? How are You challenging me going into this new year? I need insight. I need some direction as to what lies ahead. Direction You might have for me specifically in the coming year. Like, where should my focus be? So that's like a little bit of a routine thing for me going into a new year. Just something I found helpful coming off of all the distractions of the holidays. And it's a good time, you know, and I'm sure over the next week or two, we'll probably hit this theme a little bit more, because we are at the beginning of a very new year. To me, and I hope for you, it's very, very significant. It's very, very significant. And it can be very personal and meaningful for each of us. So one thing that's a little different this year, just to take a little step back right now, I found myself actually looking a little more behind me than looking ahead, just for a time. It's still hitting me a little bit, and I'm sure for some of you, but especially significant this New Year was for me, was my grandfather passed away on New Year's Eve, 1 year ago. So, as you could imagine, this was like the first time, you know, the holidays, like without him, right? And yeah, just all the busyness didn't hit me that much, but it kind of came in waves. I was just like, huh, like it's really different without Grandpa, you know, so it's a little different. So I started to just think about him and started missing him, remembering his humor, his laugh, the good times we shared together. And as I did, I had this a deep awareness of, you know, just his absence and the changes in the family dynamic that resulted from that. And it's okay, you know, it's okay. Like I said, I'm just taking a step back, and it's okay for you too. that's a little mini message here, that we have this time. We have this time to grieve and to mourn, right? And in many ways, the new year, well, 2018 was different. It just meant it was different, you know, just different, right? God bringing us into new challenges, even as our family, and where our family is dealing with some things. There's a little bit of a shakeup going on, and it's okay. God's grace, and He's totally working in that, and we rejoice in that. But yeah, I know that I'm not alone. I know that there's others here who have experienced the loss of a loved one, even in the last year. So you can relate to that. It's just different. It's just different. The holidays can be a little different. So we felt that. We felt that this time. So because of that, my time with the Lord was one of gratitude and one of gratefulness for thinking about my grandfather, thinking about the memories I had with him. And I just realized, too, that in a lot of ways, I can't just stay there. I can't just stay there, you know? So it could be tempting to stay in the past, even with how different things are, like in moments like that. Even if it's not losing a loved one, it could be loss of a job or an income, a certain reality for your living situation or whatever it might be. We grieve in different ways. Grief takes different forms. It's not always just the loss of a loved one. So this can kind of apply in different ways to each of us, even if you haven't lost someone. But God's word tells us that there's a time for that, a time for healing that happens when we allow ourselves to remember. Ecclesiastes 3:1. Many of you, I'm sure, will be familiar with this. Says, there's an occasion for everything, and a season for everything, for every activity under the heavens. And it concludes a time to grieve. Verse 4 of the same chapter, Ecclesiastes 3, verse 4, says, there's a time to weep and a time to laugh, a time to mourn and a time to dance. And I know there's a very popular song that's working off of this passage here. But God's word is always the original, you know. And Matthew 5, verse 4, Jesus said, blessed are those who mourn, for they shall be comforted. So when I was going through this, that verse just hit me. It was like, how are they blessed? How are they blessed? How does the blessing come to those who are mourning? How? I filter scripture like that. I ask questions, you know. Well, it's a comfort, number one, that only the Lord Himself can give. It's a comfort that only the Lord Himself can give. No one else, nothing else, not even chocolate. The blessing, yeah, or whatever your indulgence. The blessing that the Lord is talking about here is the promise, actually, of being comforted by Jesus Himself. Hallelujah. Like, the blessing is the promise of being comforted by Jesus Himself. Meaning, no one else will do. Nothing else will do. We know that, right? When you're hurting, When you're struggling, and then good-meaning people like come alongside us, and we need that always. We need the family of God to come alongside us. But there's sometimes a time when we just can't always receive it, right? We just need time, just need a little time, because in that time, only the Lord Himself can comfort us. That's the blessing. That's the blessing. The blessing is to those who mourn. He says, "Blessed are those who mourn; they should be comforted." So. I'm not trying to negate a season of grieving or taking time to reflect and to remember about our loved ones and the significance that they are to us. We absolutely and always should remember them, right? Their legacy, even the good, the bad, the trials, the ugly, the pretty, they're a stamp, they're an image on our life story, and we just honor and accept that. So there's a time for that, and there's significance in that. And looking back actually is appropriate. It is appropriate in a time and a place. There's a time and a place for that. And there's value in remembering. But hard as it might be to say this, as we keep those memories close, we all know the importance. We all know the importance of moving on. We all know the importance of moving on in time. In time. Moving forward and embracing a new season that God has for us, that God may be bringing us into. So in light of this, in light of that thought, then looking back isn't always a good thing, especially if we're going to dwell there, if our mind and our thoughts are going to just fester there and stay there. There could be a danger in consistently going back. You know what I mean? And I feel that temptation whenever there's change, not just loss of a loved one, but just change in general. Like it's just an honest emotion, or whatever you want to call it. Like that, you feel that pull sometimes. It's like, oh, I wish. Like, you know, it was always better. Blah blah blah. So. This reminds me of I'm going to share a personal example. Our youngest daughter, Eliana, and thankfully she's not here. So it's great when the kids aren't here and I could talk about them, right? Daniel, one time when you're serving downstairs, I'm sure then I'll get you. But you're good right now. You're good. So maybe when she was, Beth remembers dates way better than me, or years and ages. She's probably around 2.5 years old. She wasn't just past the walking stage. She was totally in a running stage, just running everywhere. She was often jumping, spinning, dancing, moving all around, just high energy at like 2.5, just all over the place. And she loved to practice her newfound skills, right? She had this confidence, I guess, in herself that she could just do anything. She was usually... always getting hurt, too. Always getting hurt. So despite her confidence, she was always hurting herself. And it wasn't so much her being clumsy. It's just her focus wasn't in front of her. Her focus just wasn't in front of her or where she was going. And seriously, she had this strange tendency to constantly, like, look behind her. Like, she's moving... I'll spare you of an attempt to mimic her, but okay, like, I'm Eliana, and I'm moving all wild, and she's just, like, looking back, you know? So, that's as close as I'll go. So, she was always looking back, despite where her body and her legs were taking her. She was just looking back. And we know, Beth and I realized, that it was usually because she wanted to see us watching her, or... if we had friends over or family, like to get attention and kind of look what I could do and show off her new moves, right? But for us as parents, it was quite nerve-wracking. We'd often yell out, "Eliana, stop. Stop. Watch out. Look where you're going. Look where you're going." Sometimes I would get upset. Like, come on. Come on. Look where you're going. Come on, girl. She really would run into a wall. Like, it just blew my mind. Just more than, and now, you know, Caleb's his own story, and, you know, we'll talk about him another time, but Eliana, I'm just saying, like, she just had an extra dose of confidence and, like, invincible attitude, and she would run into a wall, fall over. That was life for her as a toddler. We yelled out because somehow we were trying to help her avoid getting another bump, getting another bruise, getting another serious injury of some kind. And it was a miracle, really, in hindsight, in retrospect. It was a miracle that we, nor she, actually had any major trauma, and that we survived, and we got through the toddler stage, and she didn't have to go to the ER, despite her lack of foresight. So obviously, Beth and I saw the potential harm. We saw the potential harm that Eliana would cause herself by constantly turning her head back and looking back, keeping her focus behind her. As parents, we saw that. So it just poses the question, you know, what about us? What about us? What about me? As it relates to, think about this, to try and bring things full circle somehow. As it relates to fulfilling our purpose in Christ, know that our Heavenly Father also wants to make us aware of how dangerous it can be to only look back, to only look behind and not look ahead, right? When our focus gets off. In Philippians chapter 3, verse 12 to 14, the Apostle Paul talks about this very thing, actually. He says, I press on so that I may lay hold of that for which also I was laid hold of by Christ. One moment. Brethren, I do not regard myself as having laid hold of it yet. But one thing I do, forgetting what lies behind and reaching forward to what lies ahead, I press on. I press on toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. It's very interesting. The gist of this and how it spoke to me, just very simply, is we're encouraged to press on. We're encouraged to press on, to persevere in what God calls us to. How? By not looking back, by pressing forward. And while doing so, maintaining an eternal perspective, because that's what Paul's doing here. He's talking about something actually that's not quite yet grasped. He hasn't quite fully laid hold of it yet. There's still something yet to come. So his mind was there. He has this eternal perspective. So keeping the goal in view, the upward call of God, we are to keep our eyes focused on what lies ahead, on what lies ahead. So like we did with Eliana, God's word is reminding us to watch out, to look where you're going. Why is it important? Why is it even relevant for the body of Christ? Why is it even relevant for the church? For each of us individually, for our church here at ERC, why is it relevant? Because Satan wants to keep us stuck in the past. Yeah. Yeah. Why does he even care about that? Because when we're stuck in the past, we settle. We settle for status quo. We settle for coping, right? Losing sight of experiencing the life that Christ purchased for us and promised to us and makes available to us. And so much so that time gets wasted from being productive for his kingdom. So that's the aim. That's the aim. That's the intent. That's the scheme, scripture says, the scheme of the evil one to kind of to sidestep us from staying focused in the purpose that God has for us. So that's just reality. That's just in the spiritual realm of things. You know your struggle. You know the tension you feel with whatever you got on your plate. But you know, I feel it too. Like, there's a battle, right? And probably another message, I'm sure, to unpack that more. And many of you already have that foundation of understanding that, yeah, we can't always explain it, but we'll all acknowledge there is a spiritual battle taking place for my soul. There's a spiritual battle taking place for my joy and maintaining that eternal view, you know, feeling that sense of significance and purpose and calling in Christ Jesus. There's definitely an onslaught, onslaught that comes against that. One way the adversary tries to keep us off focus, more specifically, is by causing us to get stuck, not just in the past, but kind of, but on nostalgia. On nostalgia. Dwelling on how life used to be. How relationships used to be. How my job, or the job I had, used to be. How the world used to be. How the church used to be. And a big one we hear a lot about, right? How our culture used to be. American culture. The ideals, the values of our culture. The honor and respect for our freedoms, for our privacy, etc. It's all changing. It's changing. But we don't drown in sorrow there, you know, like that's not the people of God, you know. We have this hope that, again, we've talked about this, and we always will, I'm sure, somehow. Like, we have this hope that transcends all of that. And we have a purpose that's far more significant with whatever time the Lord gives us. Like, however it goes down, it's okay, because Christ is still on the throne. And one day, we'll all come to meet him, and we'll have that endless joy with him, right? So that's our eternal view, like Paul. Like, that's why we press on. That's why we press on, because we keep that eternal view. The moment you lose sight of that, you become so earthbound. So earthbound, you get stuck, and you're just crawling. You're just crawling. You're not sailing, or whatever word you want to fill in there. You know what I mean? What about life in the church? We're all involved in a new chapter, right? God hasn't stopped taking us somewhere. This place, God hasn't stopped working. This is a special community of believers. Many overcoming believers, right? With a unique call. A unique call to show his mercy and his love to those who are struggling to find real hope. Real hope. Not just flaky Christianity. Not just go through the motions, like do what seems to be the religious thing. Like, no, no. Like we're all about experiential reality. Taking God at his word, his living and active word, letting it transform, fill, and consume us to the point that we just manifest the Lord himself as we go out. As we go out. Like, that's the call. And, you know, and if that sounds a little deep, just know that this is God's high call for us. This is God's high call for us. And it's a work that he does, actually, by his Holy Spirit. It's not a strength of our own. It's not a strength of our own. So if we're in Christ, if we're in Christ, he is so good. If we are in Christ, we are his set apart ones. That lyric. Set apart for you, Lord, I choose to be holy. For the master, right? To do your will or something. We are his set apart ones. We are his set apart ones. Set apart for what? A purpose. Our life means something. We have value to the Creator, the God of the heavens, the God who came down to meet with us, the whole Christmas miracle, right? We have significance. We have value. And it's a life of adventure. A life of adventure, not coping, of adventure, of anticipation, of excitement. Yeah, there's sorrow. Yeah, there's trip-ups, there's stumblings, there's sin, right? It happens, right? But God, Christ is the remedy, and he gives us the antidote and the grace. He gives us the grace to carry on, to continue to run after him. So we have this anticipation of what he might do next in and through us. In and through us. We all have a part. We all have a part. That's the beauty. That's the marvel of the body of Christ. So we have to trust that God is leading us. That as we embrace a new season and a new year together, it's one that in some ways might look a little different from the past. And let's be okay with that. Let's be okay with that. What's familiar? Some things might be a little different. Just like us moving or the reality of any reality of any change. It's inevitable. It's inevitable that some things will be different. That's all. But we have to trust that God is leading us and that he is at work and that we all have a part and that we're a family and that, you know, we'll get through whatever new challenge the Lord presents before us, and we can do so with anticipation. We could do so with excitement, and even all the imperfection that any one of us might represent, especially myself, like to be patient with one another and know that, and to really believe that in the new year, God is leading us somewhere, and there are some new places, some new ministries or things emerging or forming that it's already on the table. It's like the embers. think that flame image again. The embers already burning. Like, and God wants to blow it. God wants to blow it and fan it. You know, and I don't know where it'll go. Like, I'm not saying like I got it all figured out myself. I'm just saying like it's a privilege and an honor to somehow be serving together and knowing that, yeah, God, you brought this whole thing about anyway, so that must mean somehow you are leading us forward into something new. You know, something different. And anyway, so be encouraged with that. Because I'm trying to be. And I'm staying encouraged with that. And I know that's the focus the Lord wants to keep pounding me with, you know, despite my own insecurities and questions, right? We could be real. We all have them. So let's be on guard against getting stuck in nostalgia, though. Because we could always reminisce. We could become a reminiscent people that we just stay stuck on how things were, how life once was. You know, and there's a danger there. And actually, it fuels a critical spirit, or it fuels discontentment. Amen. Thank you, Jason. Thank you. We don't want to be discontent with where the Lord is taking us and where the Lord wants to take us. Again, this is applicable for me, myself, for you, yourself, for our family, for our church, for ERC. So this is there's a lot of application here. I'm trusting the Holy Spirit is kind of working beyond this somehow to just encourage us, to encourage us, and to challenge us, and to warn us, like we're trying to warn Eliana, look out, watch where you're going, stop looking back, you're going to run into a wall, you know, like, we don't want to become stagnant, we want to just stop whatever momentum that the Lord already put in place, you know. So, like the Apostle Paul, we're encouraged to strive toward what lies ahead, pressing on towards the goal, God's call to know him more, to make him known in the world around us. So in whatever change you're dealing with in this new year, the greatest encouragement that I could pass on to you, because this is the encouragement the Lord is giving to me, is that for you and I, God has not changed. God has not changed. Whatever change you're dealing with, just know that God has not changed. His character, his very nature, the nature of his faithful love for us has not changed. Has not changed. And never will. Nobody could say that but the Lord. Nobody could say that. Hebrews 13:8 says this: Jesus Christ is the same. Jesus Christ is the same. Yesterday and today and forever. He's the only constant one. is the only one faithful and true in all of his ways. That's who he is. I probably shared this already, possibly, but people do let us down. People do let us down, and we deal with that. And even as believers, sometimes we fall short, right? Yet God's word says, 2 Timothy 2, verse 13, that even if we are faithless, he remains faithful, for he cannot deny himself. He cannot deny himself. So the aspect and the attribute about God that he is faithful, which the scripture echoes throughout the whole scripture, that God is faithful. This is his very nature. The point is, he cannot deny that true reality about himself. That's just who God is. So despite our shortcomings, despite our imperfections, despite our times of faithlessness, he remains faithful. That's what God's word is saying here. That's what God is telling us here. And because of his constant love, and because of his constant faithfulness, he promises to be with us in the change. Emmanuel, with us, with us. This is the true reality for those in Christ, that God is with us, the children, the family of God. And we could take comfort in the Lord's promise to never leave us nor forsake us. In Matthew 28, verse 20, the Great Commission chapter, there's probably one of the most meaningful statements about the Lord he always brings me back to. It all comes down to this, in so many ways. I'm just saying. How comforting to know when Jesus said, "I am with you always. I am with you always, even to the end of the ages." Yeah, he's so faithful. He's with you. He's with me. So let's keep Christ as the focal point of our lens in this new year. Know that he will lead each and every one of us as we trust in him for what lies ahead. And I'm going to close with this last passage. Philippians 2, verse 13. Says, "For it is God who works in you to will and to act in order to fulfill his good purpose." How encouraging to know that God is actively at work in us, and that this is his promise. So let's seek him together for the good purpose that he has in store for this new year. And may we rely on the Holy Spirit for the discernment and the strength we'll each need to press on in the work that he's called us to, so that we don't run into walls. You press on to the work he's called us to. So, amen. Amen. So, today's Communion Sunday. While our focus will be on the new year and moving forward, as mentioned earlier, there's a time for looking back to honor our loved ones. Regarding the Lord Jesus, however, we're instructed to always, always remember and never forget the depth of God's great love for us, the amazing love that he displayed through his brutal death on the cross. Always remember, never forget. That's what communion is all about. So if the ushers, servers, elders, the people part of this time, would you please come forward? I just want to say this. Communion represents our common union with Christ and our common union with each other. Communion, the Lord's Supper, the time of remembrance, as we know. To remember what? To remember His willing sacrifice for us, to atone for our sin. Never forget that. Never forget. In a time of personal reflection, the scripture says to examine ourselves. To examine ourselves. So, as we go through this, let's prepare our hearts to meet with the Lord, to meet quietly with Him. And as this, and in this process, if you feel led to share out a prayer or a praise, please do so. Do so reverently and honorably. Like, you know, it's a time we now want to remember. You know, it's a time to really remember. So speak out what God puts on your heart. Just remember that we need to keep our focus on Him right now. So, we're going to get to the solemn moment very shortly. Okay, thank you, brothers. Please pass out the crackers. I will pray at the end. Yeah, go ahead, Brian. We're going to eat together when the ushers, when those who are serving or come back up.
Share something that Flager said a couple weeks ago that was just really inspiring, and hopefully it inspires you all. You speak with somebody and you told this to that person, said, you know, look at this great earth that God created in 6 days, all that's here, and just imagine with the last 2,000 years, because, you know, in the Word it says that He's going to create a new earth and new heaven for us. Well, just imagine what's been put together for the last 2,000 years. Now, So it's like, man, it's something to really like live for, really kind of like, you know what? I don't need any of this year. What God's been putting together and thinking about me for the last 2,000 years. So it is really inspiring me, so I really hope that inspires you.
Man. Yeah.
Thank you, Blake.
Ushers would come forward.
Jerry downstairs.
Who's that?
Jerry went down to serve downstairs.
I just want to give a thank you and praise for everybody's prayers for our people. We saw her over New Year's Eve and stuff, and talking about reflecting back, those doctors about 2.5 years ago said she wouldn't last a year with the ALS that she's been diagnosed with. She's actually been feeding herself. She's been able to stand up and walk with her brother, holding her hands and walking backward while she's walking forward. Now, it's been a little rough during the holidays. She's been tired and that sort of thing and stuff, so it seems like she's regressed a little bit, but we're so thankful. We are so thankful for God's faithfulness in just touching her body and for the faithfulness of you folks praying for her and just doing this work in her body. It's only by God's grace. This girl's a year younger than our daughter was. And I can remember when our daughter was probably at her worst that she would pray every single night with her mother. And her mother would go down the line and say stuff like, Lord, we gotta pray for these kidneys and the ureter and all this stuff. And this little kid would call on her mom and just say, Mom, just pray for Jesus to heal her. He doesn't need all that. And that's just the way she is. She has always been a prayer warrior herself. And to see her now receiving some healing back after all these years, I just want to thank you again for praying.
Amen.
The kind of person I was so blessed to meet, her husband's, Caitlin's husband's mother, in an office where a doctor's office where I go. And I said to her, you know, with all of this, would you have rather maybe they didn't get married? Yeah, that's a very blunt, very honest, open question, a hard question. But she said to me, I just believe that if they hadn't gotten married, John would have been alone the rest of his life. That they are such soulmates that, yes, they had to get married, and yes, I'm glad they're married. And then to hear Skip, you know, saying, yeah, she's walking? Don't believe it, Lord. You know, what are you going to do?
Thanks. Yep, the ushers would come forward. Elders, brothers.
Thanks. Co-laborers.
Co-laborers. That's a good word. Oh, okay.
That's a joke. Probably got to spill it.
Yeah, thanks.
Thank you, sir.
All right. God's word says, For I received from the Lord that which I also delivered to you, that the Lord Jesus, in the night in which he was betrayed, took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, This is my body, broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me, he says. Let's eat together in remembrance of our Lord. Jesus, we do right now, every distraction aside, look at the cross. Look at your life laid down for us. The high price of your blood paid for our freedom. Free to us, but it costs you everything. Everything. May we never lose sight of this as we remember you. In your name, amen. Continue to keep that solemn mode of reflection on the Lord Himself. The distracting thoughts that are competing right now in this moment for your attention on Jesus, pray against it. We need to look at the Savior. We need to look at the Savior and remember His great love for us. Thank you, Lord. Listen, if there's anything that's hindering, that you know, that the Holy Spirit's revealing to your heart right now, that's totally in the way of this intimate moment, this personal moment, confess it to Him. This is the examination the Lord encourages us to do, tells us to do in this time, so that we wouldn't partake in this moment in an unworthy manner. And the Scripture warns us against that. So if you are in Christ, this is for you. This is a time to evaluate yourself. Search your heart. Ask the Lord to search your heart to see if there's any hurtful, wicked way in me, and to restore us and to revive us again. So, yeah, just take this time before Him. It's so hard to keep our focus there. So hard sometimes.
give you praises and glory which are yours, Heavenly Father. I thank you for my church family, for everyone here, Heavenly Father, because I know that once we go outside of these walls, there's problems and there's battles. And we're in a battle zone, Heavenly Father, as we move out. But you encourage us and gives us the power, Heavenly Father, so that we may preach to others and give them the hope that we have for salvation.
Thank you.
Heavenly Father, thank you, Heavenly Father, because you're a great God. You're an awesome God. And that's because you love us, Heavenly Father. And so, Heavenly Father, we praise you for that. I personally praise you, Heavenly Father, for my church family and all the people here that encourage me and my family, Heavenly Father. And that's what we're here for, Heavenly Father, to build each other up and to praise you at the same time, Heavenly Father, because you're an awesome God. We love you and we praise you, Lord God. In the name of Jesus, we pray.
Amen.
God, the Lord worketh all things to the good for those that love Him.
Yes.
Just Lord, that you made each person in this world a unique human being, and you're willing to meet each person exactly where they are at this moment, and you have just what they need.
In the same way, he took the cup.
After supper, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes." And as we remember, there's the look forward. There's a look forward in communion until he comes. Let's drink together. Please stand with me for our closing prayer. God, we really are in awe of you. It's a great wonder that you care, that you look down. We know our lives, we know our story, we know our pits that we've fallen into, and yet you care. You've came. You pursued us, and we say thank you. We remember you always for the great death that you died that we might live. And as we look forward to a new year, may we never forget you. May we never forget you. We invite you in. We welcome you into this new year. We want this new year to begin with you, Jesus. And we know that you go with us together. We don't go alone. We plow together. You go with us together in this new year. So I just pray a blessing on everyone here, that our hearts would be uplifted, and that we would be encouraged to take you with us, to invite you in to the changes that this season is bringing for many of us, Lord God, and to be excited about looking forward and how you will meet us. In your name, in the name of Jesus, our Lord. Amen. 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 Yep. Well, blessed.